Emilio, I just want to tell you that I like you just the way you are.
Ditto.
Ditto?
Yeah. Ditto.
I mean, you could say it. You'd say it.
Do I really have to?
I mean, Fred Rogers would say it.
Yeah, I know, but, like, I'm saying ditto, so ditto should mean everything that you just told me, I feel the same way. It's just a condensed version.
You know what I hear when I hear ditto?
What?
I hear, I'm afraid of intimacy. I'm afraid to look my friend Michael in the face and say, Michael, I like you just the way you are.
I will put my big boy pants on.
Yes, thank you.
Because Mr. Rogers would want me to do so.
Yeah.
And I will say, Michael, I like you just the way you are.
Thank you. Welcome to Pop Culture Man Children.
Hi, neighbors.
This is PCMC. I am Mr. Mike Buongiorno. To my right is Mr. Emilio Sparks.
Right center.
Yes, yes, yes. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I've got my cardigan on.
Yeah, I noticed. You know, it's sweltering outside.
I know it's July and it's in the 90s, but, you know, we're doing a very special episode today, and I thought I would wear a cardigan.
And you did tennis shoes, too, which I'm really impressed with. Like,
yeah.
You got to understand something, podcast listener of this program.
They don't know this. I'm always dressed up. Always. Sometimes I'm dressed as Batman. Sometimes it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, he does cosplay for this show, and nobody gets to see it ever. I might have to start taking photos of it, but he's like, no, please, because I'm a professor. And I don't want my children to think ill of me.
No, I don't want anybody to think ill of me.
Yeah.
Today we want to talk to you about a program that was on the air for many years.
112 years.
Actually, 895 episodes.
That's a lot of TV.
And we're talking about, of course, the children's program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And there was a film that just came out, a documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor, which I've seen twice now.
How many times did you cry?
Well, it's hard to count, Emilio, because there's so many moving moments. It's sort of a prolonged teary. It's sort of like dripping throughout. Both times I got teary-eyed, and both times after I got out of the movie, I had to rehydrate. But you look like someone who would watch Mr. Rogers.
Oh, I would watch Mr. Rogers now, dude.
You seem like a guy with values.
Thank you.
You're a wholesome man.
That is the nicest thing you've ever told me.
No, you're a wholesome man. And
I try to be.
You look like a man who probably, you know, listened to Fred Rogers. I honestly, as a kid, of course I saw him. He was ubiquitous. But I didn't really watch him. I was a Sesame Street fan. I feel like I know more about him now than I did at the time.
See, I think everybody watches the Sesame, and then you trickle into Fred.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, Mr. Rogers is next. All right. You know what? I'm just going to watch Mr. Rogers right after this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Fred Rogers, the man. He was born in 1928. He died in 2003, 75 years of age. He was married to Joanne Rogers, who's still alive. He has two sons, James and John Rogers. He was an ordained Presbyterian minister. What I find cool about that is his shows were about values, but they weren't about doctrine. He never seemed to reference.
Preachy? No, he didn't preach shit.
And he wasn't referencing his own religion or his own religious beliefs. It was all about the values.
Well, I never got a sense of religious.
No, there was no doctrine there at all. He was never saying, I'm a this, I'm a that, and these are the rules I believe. It was just like, let's be good to people and stuff like that. He wrote, hosted, and composed music for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He won a Medal of Freedom, which the president gives you.
That's big.
That's a big one. 40 honorary degrees. 40.
I can't even get one.
You want to be jealous. He won a Peabody Award.
Son of a bitch.
He's in the TV Hall of Fame.
Should we tell people that my goal or my obsession is to win a Peabody Award?
I feel like we've talked about it on the show, but we could always mention it. We want to win a Peabody.
Yeah.
More than anything, we want a Peabody.
I think we're capable of doing it.
I thought that SJW episode was the one that was going to do it, but, you know.
We'd have to register.
Oh, they don't just listen to everything and watch everything?
No, you have to register. You have to pay the entrance fee.
Oh, I've been going about this. Oh, wait. Excuse me. What?
There's an entrance fee to pay.
How much is that?
Like $100.
Well, that's not too bad.
I think we should do it.
Peabody Award winning. That would be part of the title. The Peabody Award winning
Pop Culture Man Children.
Mr. Rogers was a lifelong Republican.
Well, I will say this. Yeah. Republicans were different back then.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, judge that because obviously me and Emilio are more liberal, but let's put it this way. I don't think Mr. Rogers would have liked Trump at all.
No, I don't think so either.
And I don't think he would have voted for a guy like Trump.
I don't think he would get the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
No, no, Trump would call him a wimp.
I think he would turn it down. He would be like, nah, I'm not going. I'm good, bro. Maybe. Thanks.
Do you know that, and this is in the documentary, for a while Fox News was going really hard against Mr. Rogers because they were saying,
how can you go against Fred Rogers?
Here's why. They said he ruined a generation of Americans by telling them they're special, and that's why they're entitled little snowflakes now. Mr. Rogers did it.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly because we're, what, in our late 30s?
Yeah.
If you were to ask your students, they would be like, nah, I never watched Mr. Rogers. It wasn't a thing. Right. It wasn't a thing. It was a thing for us growing up.
There's a difference between what Mr. Rogers was saying and what Fox News is saying they were saying.
Fox News.
Because Fox News was saying that he was just telling them, you're special, you don't have to work hard, you're entitled. That's not what he was saying. All Mr. Rogers was saying was, you are special because you're unique and you deserve love and you deserve respect. He wasn't saying, don't work.
I don't think he's ever said don't work.
No, he was just saying, you know, every individual is unique. Mr. Rogers swam a mile every morning.
Of course he did.
He weighed...
He's in better shape than us.
He weighed 143 pounds always through his entire adult life. And he liked that number because 143 is I love you. Mr. Rogers, in his 40s, became a vegetarian. He said, quote, I don't want to eat anything that has a mother. I'm a vegetarian, too.
But now let me ask you this, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But plants come from Mother Earth. Why would he eat plants?
I think he means a mother in a more biological sense.
But Mother Earth is from a biological sense as well, for the plants.
Well, but plants aren't sentient. So plants don't think. They're alive in the sense that they grow, but they're not. They don't have a consciousness. You know, if I rip a flower, you're talking about Swamp Thing?
I'm pointing to my Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing is not a documentary.
Groot
is a fantasy.
Groot
is also not a real person. I think if Mr. Rogers found out that flowers had feelings and vegetables had feelings, he would have just starved to death. He would have been like, well, I'm just not going to eat anymore. And that's it. And then it would have died. Here's a myth that was busted by the documentary. There's a myth you hear that he was in, served the military and he killed a lot of people. That's not true.
What?
Yeah, it's one of those internet, early internet myths where like, oh, you ever hear Mr. Rogers? He was the military. I guess it's to try to add some sort of weird depth to him.
He weighed 143 pounds. Do you really think he's killing anybody?
I think it's because people think they're cool to be like, guess what I know? Like, you know that nice guy on TV? He's really killed a bunch of people. He didn't. He never served in the military. He never was in the military.
He doesn't look like he would be.
No.
See, now Bob Ross was in the military. He was a drill sergeant for the
Air
Force.
Was he really?
And he said he was.
Is that a myth?
No, that's a fact.
How is that guy a drill sergeant?
Because that's what he did. And then when he retired.
Do you think you're a little cloud? You think you're a happy little cloud? Get on your knees.
Yeah, he was pretty much like Louis Gossip Jr. in An Officer and a Gentleman.
I don't got anywhere to go.
Once he retired, he was like, you know what? I'm going to talk in a nice, soft tone because
yeah, that makes sense.
I yelled at people for so long. I don't want to yell at people no more.
PBS was very much like ASMR. Is that what it's
ASMR? ASMR.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm not one of the people
well,
that works on.
Bob Ross is the godfather of ASMR.
Right, right. Which
with
is...
With the soft speaking and the bristle tapping and
it's
the
hard
painting.
To explain if you don't get it, but it's basically like when you listen to soft voices or sounds like that, you get a like sort of chill in the scalp of your head.
Yeah, you get a tingling sensation throughout your
yeah,
body.
Yeah, not everyone gets it. I don't get it.
I get it.
Do you get it? Mm-hmm. Does Bob Ross give it to you?
Bob Ross has given it to me a couple times and a couple of ASMRs on YouTube.
Does Mr. Rogers do it? I wonder if Mr. Rogers, because he's also very soft.
Well, it depends because sometimes he would switch to some uppity music or, you know, he would sing a song. It has to be a consistent
thing. He wrote music for every episode. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, he was into jazz.
And it was on, Mr. Rogers would be on 5 days a week. That's insane.
Well, he had the same pianist forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he had the same crew basically forever.
He don't mess around.
Mr. Rogers hated TV, and he especially hated TV for children and felt that all it wanted to do was turn kids into consumers and it didn't care about kids.
Especially in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get into that in the documentary. They show, like, Transformers and Ninja Turtles and stuff that I love. But basically, he was like, it's not helping kids in any way.
No, it's hurting kids.
Do you think we were hurt by it?
I think we were desensitized to violence in certain ways, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the media works that way.
You don't think so?
No, I think Ninja Turtles taught me values about friendship and Italian food. He worked with the University of Pittsburgh Child Development Program. He was into, like, child psychology. And he would actually, like, even outside of his show, he would, like, do things like live performances and stuff like that with kids. It was really interesting. He appeared once, playing a character, not playing himself, on a TV series. And this was in the 90s. Can you guess what TV series Mr. Rogers played a character on?
Married with Children.
No. That's an awful guess.
ER.
That's a good guess, but not correct.
NYPD Blue.
That's a terrible guess. Think about the 90s. Think about wholesome shows from the 90s.
Beverly Hills 90210.
No.
Seventh Heaven.
Ooh, that is a great guess. Not correct.
Party of Five.
No. You watched every episode of Party of Five. You would have remembered Fred Rogers in it. He was in Dr. Quinn.
Medicine Woman. Oh, I should have said that.
Playing a preacher. So not too far off from himself. He really is what you saw. Like, a lot of people want there to be dirt. A lot of people want to be like, okay, but what is he really like? What was he like at home? Did he ever curse? Did he ever do this? And they kind of get into a little bit of like, yeah, he was a grown-up. Like, yeah, he would laugh at a joke. Yeah, he had gay friends.
Would he say things like H-E double hockey sticks?
No, but they said when he would be angry, he would talk in the voice of the mean puppet lady. Like, that was his alter ego. He did an adult show for one season. And
is it the seedy side of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
No, it was basically like an interview show.
Oh.
It was like kind of like, I don't know, kind of like Barbara Walters, but it would be him interviewing people. And they say it's good, but was boring. And then he quickly went back to doing what he did.
I would have loved to have seen that.
You know, in the 80s, he did something interesting where he started doing theme weeks where a whole week would be about one thing. Like a whole week on divorce or a whole week on... He did a whole week on superheroes because some kid dressed up like Superman and like jumped off a building and died. So he did a whole week on superheroes to teach you that superheroes are not real. His TV show was his ministry. Like, he was using the medium of TV to preach.
I don't know if it was preached, though.
He preached, but it was not preachy. Preach kind of has a negative connotation. He wasn't preachy. He wasn't judgy. He's doing what a minister would do, but he was doing it through TV. He was saying, this is the way that the world should be. This is the way we should treat each other. These are the values that we should share.
Is that preachy, though? Or is that...
No, it's not preachy, but it's. I'd say he preached.
So I don't agree with that, though.
You just don't like the connotation of the word preach.
Yeah, because the way that show was, it wasn't preachy. It was like... Hey, this person is nice.
I'm agreeing with you. I'll say again for the third time.
No. I know you're
agreeing
with me.
It's not preachy, but he preached. Sometimes I preach on this show. I mean, that's a fact. I'm using preach just as a verb to mean putting out my ideas.
Okay.
And that's what he was doing. He believed that kids should be protected and kids should be made to feel safe.
What about the documentary stuck out to you? Did it show Fred Rogers the personal side, or was it Mr. Rogers the television show?
Well, some of the critics of the film have said they wanted more of Mr. Rogers the person, but the movie tries to make the point that there really wasn't a difference, that he really was that guy, that there was no – he really was a nice husband and a nice father and nice to the cast and crew, cared about the things he said he cared about. It's interesting.
Like, he didn't go home and silently drink?
No. He became famous but didn't really use that or like it. Or he took being in the public eye seriously. So I guess the thing I liked most about the movie was it gives a pretty good timeline. It gives specifics. And the editors of the film give you nice, hearty chunks to watch. So you're getting a really good taste of what he did.
Listen, he was a conservative. He was a conservative with a message.
Yeah, yet though, he was Well, there's an interesting part of the movie where we find out that Francois, who played the mailman, he was gay. And he was going to a gay bar. And Mr. Rogers was like, you know, I don't want you to go there anymore because if you get caught there, it'll be a whole scandal and our sponsors will pull out. And that's the only part of the movie where like, oh, okay, Mr. Rogers maybe wasn't perfect. But then the guy, Francois, goes on to talk about how Mr. Rogers told him, like, I love you the way you are, and I accept you. And he said Mr. Rogers was like a father to me. He was like, my own father never said he loved me and accepted me. So Mr. Rogers wasn't homophobic.
I think the integrity of his program and what it was doing.
I think he's afraid it would have taken, it would have brought the whole empire down.
No, I don't think it would have brought the empire down.
I think that's what he was afraid of, though. He was probably afraid that if, you know, Francois was caught in a gay bar, it would be on the it would be all over the news. Mr. Rogers cast member caught in Love Den or whatever the stupid thing they'd say. And, you know, maybe he'd lose his sponsors. It's the only part of the movie that presents any part of him that is not absolutely perfect. I would have liked maybe a little bit more of...
What did you want him to do? You wanted him to go home and drink afterwards and talk to the puppets?
No, I don't... I mean...
Actually, that would make for a really great TV show.
I don't want warts and all. You know, I don't want, you know, a dirty tell-all. But I guess I did want to... It's all about the show. His wife and kids are there, but you never hear about his children's birth. It's the story of the show. So I kind of would have wanted a little bit more of him.
I would like to know, damn, yo, your dad's Mr. Rogers. How the hell do you live up to that?
Yeah, well, one of his sons says that. He says, what is it? He's like, my dad was like the second Jesus. I'll tell you one criticism I have of Fred Rogers. His puppeteering was not great. And his voices, even though he did like a bunch of voices, they were not great.
You didn't like King Friday?
King Friday the 13th?
He's regal.
In the first season, no, actually in the first week of shows, King Friday decides that he doesn't want change. So what he does is he builds a wall. Swear to God, he builds a wall around the castle. And then eventually they break it down with love. That's really in the show. Hello, this is King Friday the 13th. I don't want change. I don't want love. We're going to build a wall around the castle. Trolley, look. Some of the puppets from the outskirts of Imagination Neighborhood, they're good people, I'm sure, but they're not sending their best people. They're sending rapists. They're sending criminals. I don't want it.
As he's tweeting all this?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't realize that King Friday the 13th tweeted.
He did. Yeah. He did. Currently our president of the United States.
And then there was there was Daniel Stripehead Tiger. That was his name.
Yeah.
And he was the one, the movie kind of says like that's his real personality, like the shy, scared boy inside of him. Daniel was always afraid of everything and had low self-esteem. Yeah. But, you know, he's no Jim Henson.
But he didn't have to be, though. I think, you know, he didn't... Where Jim Henson would use the puppets as an educational tool for you, I think Mr. Rogers himself was the big bird of the show.
I'm saying so Rogers didn't have the chops.
But he didn't need the chops. He could have hired somebody.
That's true. He could have got somebody in there.
But maybe he felt his message wasn't going to be conveyed right. You ever think that he was more... in character? You ever think that he was more method?
He probably should have just played Daniel and had other people come in to be other things.
Or maybe he didn't want to give up the reins too much. Maybe he didn't trust other people that way. Maybe
seems a little bit like a control freak.
I think maybe he was. Can't be that perfect all the time. You have to probably believe like this son of a bitch. He's really going to come in here and out-trolley me?
You think Mr. Rogers ever went home and like stepped into a closet and closed the door? And just screamed.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just like, fuck you.
Yeah, he definitely had like a room that was off limits.
With the Daniel Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you. He put it on his hand.
Yeah. Daniel, don't talk that way. I fucking hate everyone. Daniel, it will be all right. Fucking Johnson and Johnson, you go fuck themselves.
Do you know how hard it is to walk around and... always be nice. Sometimes you just want to smash somebody in the face with a fucking baseball bat. Oh, you can't talk like that. Where is this coming from? Is it the food that you're eating?
Daniel, you're a loser. You're a loser, Daniel. You're scared of everything, and you should be. I'm a king, and you're nobody. You're a loser. Lock him up.
Your chicken tenders without the bone.
Lock him up. Let's give them a little clip of something from Fred Rogers.
Will you give them a little shum-shum?
Yeah, we'll come back, and I'm going to share some quotes with you from Fred.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh. You know, it happens so often. I walk down the street and someone 20 or 30 or 40 years old will come up to me and say, "You are Mr. Rogers, aren't you?" And then they tell me about growing up with the neighborhood and how they're passing on to the children they know what they found to be important in our television work. Like expressing their feelings through music and art and dance and sports and drama and computers and writing, and invariably we end our little time together with a hug. I'm just so proud of all of you who have grown up with us, and I know how tough it is some days to look with hope and confidence on the months and years ahead. But I would like to tell you what I often told you when you were much younger. I like you just the way you are. And what's more, I'm so grateful to you for helping the children in your life to know that you'll do everything you can to keep them safe and to help them express their feelings in ways that will bring healing in many different neighborhoods. It's such a good feeling to know that we're lifelong friends.
Hey, welcome back to Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mr. Buongiorno, and this is Mr. Sparks over here.
Hi.
How are you? How are you, Mr. Sparks?
I'm good. What are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I've got some lovely quotes here that I want to share with you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let me hear.
These are quotes from Fred Rogers. There is no normal life that is free of pain. It is the very wrestling with our problems that can be the impetus for our growth. That's a deep thing to say to a kid, because you're saying to a kid, life is hard, but it's okay.
But think of it this way, though. Children, more than adults, have this desire to make sense of the world. Like when you're a little kid, but why can't I do this? Why can't I go there? Why can't I eat this? Why can't we buy that? Why can't I watch this?
Because life is pain, Junior. Life's not fair.
But see, we have that constant search where adults deal with the problem by pretending it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, he was honest with kids. When I was a kid, my parents used to say, life's a bitch and then you die.
Children want answers, and sometimes answers aren't always available. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least the questions would be taken more seriously.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, life's a bitch and then you die.
Fred wouldn't say that.
Nas said it in one of his songs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Here's another Fred quote. There's no should or should not when it comes to having feelings. They're part of who we are. Their origins are beyond our control. When we can believe in that, we may find it easier to make constructive choices about what to do with those feelings. I think that's a deep message.
Totally.
That's something I deal with in therapy still. There is no should or should not. Because I'd be like, I should do this. I should do that. I should, you know. And
well, that just comes with, I think, regret and second guessing.
Here's another quote. Confronting our feelings and giving them appropriate expression always takes strength, not weakness. It takes strength to acknowledge our anger and sometimes more strength yet to curb the aggressive urges anger may bring and to channel them into nonviolent outlets. It takes strength to face our sadness and to grieve and to let our grief and our anger flow in tears when they need to. You hear that, Emilio? It takes strength to cry.
I know. I will cry, I promise, one day.
I don't know if you will.
There's something that will move me.
When's the last time you cried?
I can't even remember.
Emilio.
Hi, Daniel.
Emilio, what are you scared of?
We don't have enough time to talk about those things, Daniel.
Why won't you cry?
I don't know.
Sometimes I get sad, and I want to cry. Is there something wrong with me?
There's nothing wrong with crying.
Well, why don't you cry?
I just don't have the tear ducts to do it, I guess. I'm not moved enough. Or I am moved, but it's just something that I don't do.
I think there's something wrong with you.
Also, now this fucking puppet's going to second guess me.
Here's another Fred quote. As human beings, our job in life is to help people realize how rare and valuable each one of us really is. That each of us has something that no one else has or ever will have. Something inside that is unique to all time. It's our job to encourage each other to discover that uniqueness and to provide ways of developing its expression.
I like that one.
Uniqueness, we are rare and valuable.
I think that's what you have to tell, you know, especially your students when you're developing them.
Yeah, you're not.
Them.
We're not special little snowflakes. We're not entitled, but we are all different. We all deserve respect and love. And
what's the matter with that message? Love, respect.
A brilliant man once said, "What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?" Okay, one more quote. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beauty. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything.
That was King Friday the 13th saying
that. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. That was not Fred Rogers. That was Fred Trump.
Fred Trump?
Yeah.
That was his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all the quotes I have.
Okay. It's funny that you read those quotes because there's a lot of quotes by him. Now I understand why he's had 40 honorary doctorates.
Yeah.
Because a dude like that has a lot of knowledge, but it's not really this genius level knowledge. It comes from,
yeah,
like how we said in our last episode with Neil Gaiman, like you slap your head and you think, how come I didn't think of that type stuff?
Well, when we get up to 800 some odd episodes, I'm sure there'll be great quotes from pop culture.
I mean, there's probably amazing pull quotes from us now. Like, I feel he doesn't get his notoriety.
Well, in some ways, he's like a punchline. He's talked about more than he's watched. You know what
like
I mean?
Sesame Street is this thing. It's the end-all, be-all for educational programming.
Yeah.
Then you forget about a guy like Mr. Rogers, who probably had more impact with people than Sesame Street does.
Oh, I don't know. That's tough for me to say. I mean, me personally, I
think of it as a more of an impact. But think of it from a professor standpoint.
Yes.
What do you think has more impact?
Well,
not from a pop culture standpoint.
Of like helping kids?
I think Fred Rogers did more.
Well, I don't know. The count taught me to count.
When you're a kid, you're seeing flashes of color and puppets teaching you a 6-foot bird, a Snuffleupagus, a grouch, a cookie monster. They're really not this old dude playing with blocks, showing you how to use your imagination. If anything, it's like flashes of color and light and other things that stimulate the other senses. Sesame Street had these elaborate sets. And
yeah, Mr. Rogers' show was very slow. They show in the movie a scene where he's like, "Do you want to know how long a minute is?" And he sets an egg timer, and he's just got dead air for a minute. He used broadcast time in a way that no one, even at the time, they weren't doing, but they definitely want to do now. Like, it was just like his show breathed. It just sort of like
Sesame Street does not do that.
No,
it's just constant bing, 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 bing.
But you know, I love Sesame Street. To be honest with you, I would say Sesame Street and Rogers are both amazing. Like, a lot of stuff from when we were kids was just to sell us toys. All they wanted was for us to get addicted to what they were showing us so we'd want the toys. And Rogers didn't do that. I mean, think about it. There really wasn't – I don't remember any trolley toys. I mean, maybe at some point, but I don't think there was a Daniel doll. I don't think he cashed in.
He didn't franchise on it. That's why.
I don't think he cashed in at all.
A Yale study pitted fans of Sesame Street against Mr. Rogers' neighborhood watchers.
Holy shit.
And found that kids who watch Mr. Rogers tend to remember more of the storylines and had a much bigger tolerance of delay, meaning they were more patient.
Uh-huh.
You know, where Sesame Street became big business, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood wasn't about business. It was about the children. It was about education.
But also Henson. It changed hands a lot, where Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was always Fred Rogers was the auteur of that. He was always the man in charge and the man with the plan. At some point, Henson was just like, "I want to go do movies like, you know, The Labyrinth and stuff and The Dark Crystal, and I'm not interested really in what's going on anymore."
Oh, this is cool. Listen to this. From this Yale study. Closely related to his encouragement to slow down and take one's time, Fred Rogers emphasized slowing down, taking it to its natural conclusion, an absence of all noise and distraction, so that the only thing that remains is silence.
Do you think he got, like, like letters from women like, Mr. Rogers, you're so hot, I want to do you, and he just threw them away?
Yeah, I don't think he would do that. I don't even think
he probably got those letters, though.
I don't even think he masturbated.
Well, that's a really interesting question. The movie did not get into that.
He had to have sex because he has two children. Yeah. But was he a compulsive sex addict? Was he a hypersexualized
Fred? I can't understand someone not masturbating.
I can't see Fred Rogers masturbating.
I'm trying to imagine.
It seems too dirty for him.
But, you know, I could also see him, if you brought it up, him being like, listen,
it's healthy.
It's healthy.
And it's part of your body.
It's something that God made you, and it's okay. I could see that. See, that's the thing. He didn't proselytize. He didn't seem to be like, you're bad if you do this, which is what was good about him. It was all the good. It was none of the, like, you're sinning. You're bad.
We're probing the question, did Mr. Rogers ever masturbate? That's Peabody written all over it.
That is true. That is true. I mean, look, he's a human being. I think he did. I'm going to say he did.
See, that's the question I think we should do. I think we should poll about, like, 100 people.
Is there anybody who doesn't?
Could we email the wife?
I mean, maybe.
Could we email the wife?
And ask if he masturbated?
Yes.
You want to ask the widow Rogers if Fred masturbated? Are you kidding me? We'll never get a Peabody.
It's a simple question.
We'll never. If you want to never get a Peabody, you pull that kind of shenanigans.
Isn't it part of our DNA to do so? Isn't it part of our animalism?
Yes, but I'm not gonna.
Aren't we animals at certain points?
I'm not gonna bother the widow Rogers.
I mean, what is she really doing?
She's
probably home doing nothing. Probably crocheting a blanket.
She probably would not even answer such a letter. She would be offended and say no.
You think his kids, what do you think his kids would say?
They'd probably be like, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure they don't know about it, but they're probably like, yeah, he was a dude.
Or do you think they would say, well, you know, he gave us a lecture once.
Mel Brooks said, life is too short to not have an orgasm and a grilled cheese sandwich every day.
All right, let's take a break.
When I was very young, I had a dog that I loved very much. Her name was Mitzi. Mm-hmm. And she got to be old, and she died. And I was very sad when she died, because she and I were good pals. Mm-hmm. And when she died, I cried. And my grandmother heard me crying, I remember. And she came and she just put her arm around me, because she knew I was sad. She knew how much I loved that dog. And my dad said we'd have to bury Mitzi. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to bury her because I thought I'd just pretend that she was still alive. But my dad said that her body was dead and we'd have to bury her. So we did. Remember, after my dog Mitzi died, my aunt and uncle gave me a toy dog like this that I used to play with. I used to make it go like this and then make it pop up again like that. Ending. Even now, I can still remember Mitzi's prickly fur and her curly tail. She had a tail that went around like that. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see a picture of her? My dog Mitzi. I really missed her when she died. Sometimes people get sad, and they really do feel bad. But the very same people who are sad sometimes are the very same people who are glad sometimes. It's funny, but it's true. It's the same, isn't it, for me? Isn't it the same for you?
Thanks for being here with us today. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
I love your soft-spoken voice.
Thank you. So I was thinking, who could be a Fred Rogers of today? Is there anyone alive who has that soft voice, as you said, who has a way of speaking that draws you in? And I thought, there's only one man for the job, Jeff Goldblum.
Wow.
So I think, I think what we should do here to end our little program, there's a very famous moment that you probably have seen on YouTube, which is there was a hearing to see whether or not they should defund PBS. And a bunch of people came and spoke in front of Senator Pastore. And the senator kind of like was like, all right, whatever. Didn't really care about what anyone was saying. And he also was like, I'm sick of people reading there. Just talk to me. So then Mr. Rogers went up and Mr. Rogers spoke to him and made his argument for why PBS is important. And Pastore famously right there on the spot was like, okay, you convinced me. It's a really great moment you should watch. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to perform that moment for you as Mr. Jeff Lynn Goldblum. And I think you, Emilio, should play Senator Pastore as Andrew Dice Clay.
Okay. You want to do this?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. All right. I will start off then. This is how we start it and scene?
Yes.
All right, Rogers. You got the floor.
Senator Pastore, this is a philosophical statement and would take about 10 minutes to read, so I'll not do that. Ooh, golly. One of the first things that a child learns in a healthy family is trust. I trust what you have said. You will read this. It's very important to me. I care deeply about children.
Will it make you happy if I read it?
I just like to talk about it, if that's all right. My first children's program was WQED 15 years ago, and its budget was $30. Now, with the help of CSN Roebuck Foundation and National Education Television, as well as all of the affiliate stations, each station pays pays to show our program. It's a unique kind of funding in educational television. With this help, our program has a budget of 6,000 clamoles. It may sound like quite a difference, but 6,000 pays for less than 2 minutes of cartoons. Now, 2 minutes of animation, what I sometimes say is bombardment. I'm very much concerned, as I know you are, what's been delivered to our children in this country. I've worked in the field of child development 6 years now, trying to understand the inner needs of children. We deal with such things as inner drama of childhood. We don't have to bop someone over the head to make a drama in a scene. We deal with such things as getting a haircut or feelings about brothers and sisters, the kind of anger that arises in simple family situations, and we speak to it constructively.
Do you narrate it?
Yes, I'm very much the host. And I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write the scripts.
Puppets? Like, ooh, puppets?
You touch me, Rogers. You touch me in ways I've never been touched. I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy. And this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
Well, I'm grateful, not only for your goosebumps, but for your interest in our kind of communication. Could I tell you one of the words of the songs, which I feel is very important?
Sure!
All right. This song has to do with that good feeling of control, which you feel that children need to, which I feel that children need to know there is. What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong, and nothing you do seems very right. What do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round people up? Huh? Do you round up friends for a game of tag or see how fast you could go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned the things go wrong and be able to do something instead, like think of a song. I can stop when I want to. I can stop when I wish. I can stop any old time. And what a good feeling I like to feel like this. And I know that the feeling is really mine. Now that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl, can be someday a lady, and for a boy, someday be a man.
I think this is wonderful. I love this. It's just wonderful. It looks like you just earned your $20 million. You!
This has been Pop Culture Mandrill, and thank you so much for being with us in our neighborhood today.
For more information on who we are and what we do, go to our Instagram page.
Go to our Instagram.
At Pop Culture Mandchildren.
We used to have images of Doctor Who, but the BBC is after us.
Yeah. But you can stream this show on Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. However you stream your podcast, please continue to do so.
We're always there for you, in your ears. And I tell you what we don't do. I tell you what we don't do, podcasts do. We don't go, okay, you get the last five. They're all there.
Yeah.
We've done, I think, 30-something.
Yeah.
It feels like 30,000. They're all there for you.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't make this declaration, but I'm going to say it right here now. I always want them to always be there.
Yeah, we're the Fred Rogers of podcasts.
I think they know that by now.
We don't think of it as a business. We just like to get the message out there.
Go bye-bye.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. The things inside you, your thoughts and your feelings, are all yours, and you're the one to decide if you want to share them with anybody. Your thoughts and your feelings are your own. I like sharing some of mine with you. I'll be back next time. You always make it a special day by just your being yourself. Bye-bye.